Unyeli se unde, obeto me jome wekpe ye yi hunda la goton. Omi ze hunye wate, acha unsukwe doti. Unakwele weya, aguntagan guntagan lebi. Omi ma cha fala o, cha unyolo yi.
Angelique Kidjo was deemed by Time magazine Africa's diva. She's the continent's most celebrated female musician. Her latest album, Oyo, is her exploration of the African diaspora caused by slavery. This Grammy-winning artist left her native Benin for political reasons almost 20 years ago. Yet she told Steve Paulson that Benin is still at the heart of her music.
I've done a lot of songs, and it was painful to go through all the songs and left some out and pick some. Because I've listened to so many different variety of music that it will take my lifetime to be covering all the songs that I've listened to when I was growing up. But those songs were the one that really stands for what it meant to me and linked to the memory that I had of my father, because my father passed away 2 years ago. And one of the beliefs of my father is to give to his children education and to open the world to them through books and music. Because he was not rich enough. It was the only one salary home. My mom was not working. My dad was the only one having a paycheck every month with 10 children to send to school. But he always managed to bring us, every time we say there's a new album out there we wanted, he makes sure we get it. And when my brother decided to do music, to put together the first modern music group that existed in Benin, my father bought the instrument and free a room, which was a challenge in itself because there were not that much room available for everybody, but we accepted to share the rooms in order to free that room for rehearsal.
Songs on this album, I'm not sure how you say it, Achahun?
Achahun.
Achahun. Isn't that a rendition of the very first song you performed on stage?
Yeah, in my mother theater group. My mother put together the only theater troupe that ever existed in Benin, and the new generation is trying to revive a theater in Benin. And in that theater group of my mom, there were a little girl that play a really important role in the play, and she has malaria and she couldn't come because she has a lot of fever and she couldn't move out of the bed. And because I've always been so curious, I would be between everybody's like asking them, what is this? And I knew all the lines. When somebody was saying something wrong, I go, that's not the line. And I was 6 years old and just bitching about everything, and my mom said, you big mouth that you don't know everything, now you're gonna sing. I'm like, mom, no, I'm not singing. She goes, yeah. And she dragged me on from under the costumes and put the girl's costume on me. And my eyes start rolling left and right, like, you know, when an animal is trapped and you don't know where to go, that's how I felt. And then she shoveled me on stage. And the first time ever, I can hear all the bones in my body going. And everybody start laughing. I'm like, this is kind of cute. People are laughing. Then let me sing. And I start singing. And since then, I've been hooked. So that was the first song I've ever sung on stage at Chang when I was 6 years old.
Wow. So right away, when you started singing, you realized, oh, this is kind of cool?
Yeah, man. People were laughing, having fun. I'm like, I'm liking this. And I came back and I'm, can I go back again? My mom said, no. Go sit. I'm like, oh, man, the fun is too quick.
Catching shade, shell, Johnny. I put me more daddy love. Catching shade, shell, Johnny.
Now you say. said that you left Benin for political reasons. Now, this was a Marxist dictatorship, I think we could say.
Yep.
You couldn't just be an artist? You couldn't be a musician in that country?
No. On the radio in Cotonou, you could listen to every different artist. The communist regime changed and said no propaganda, no music from the Western world. And everything just changed from one morning to the other. And it has been clearly said to the Beninese artists, from now on, all you write about is about the revolution, about the communist regime and the people in power. I'm like, hell no, I ain't doing it. In that kind of regime, there's no freedom of speech. So I got to fled because my father was on their radar because they asked him to be part of the government and he said no. And I was on their radar too because they wanted me to use my fame to praise the communism regime. I have nothing against communism and the philosophy and people that believe in it. What I don't believe in is when somebody use a philosophy and ideology to take away from people their freedom. And I'm not gonna buy it. It can be religion. It can be political. I'm not there. I'm out.
So when you left for Paris, your parents were still living in Benin. Were there repercussions on them?
Oh boy. I mean, the repercussions were not only on my family. The custom agent that let me go was a friend of my brother. And when he saw me, he was just like frozen. He said, what are you trying to do? See, I just gotta leave. And he said, okay, I will turn my back, you go. I'm not gonna even stamp your passport, just leave and get to the plane before somebody saw you. So I ran to the plane. And at that time, we didn't need a visa to go to France. And years later, late 90s, when I came back, I saw him. It was his last year as a custom agent. And he told me, I'm so proud of what you have become, that I played a little tiny role in that. But because I let you go, because they find out that he was the one that was there when I left, he did not get any promotion till he retired.
Wow, sobering story. So why did you end up moving from Paris to New York, to Brooklyn?
When I started the trilogy of album tracing back the root of slavery through the diaspora that left Africa, America was the first stop for me. And I came here to write with singer-songwriter, American singer-songwriter, and American artist for us to start a discussion. Because since the drift that slavery have caused, we have never been able to come together and heal that wound. And because the subject of slavery has been put under the rug for so long, no one wants to touch it, and we don't talk about it, the wound will never go away. And the best way that I find was to use music as a vehicle for that.
La Cochoni Langa Zagubuyi Nkomo Kunkinga ngawe la kuchoni langa ya gubeli yanga.
Now you've really become an international citizen, and you are in fact a UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador, and you've started your own foundation to help girls back in Africa get an education. Can you tell me about why that is so important to you?
We cannot achieve economical growth, play any role in the global economical world, reduce child mortality at birth, reduce the pandemic of AIDS, fight malaria without girls' education. And mothers start coming to me in different countries where I go in Africa saying, you know what's gonna happen when our daughter finish primary school, right? And I said, yes, I know, but I was not thinking that much ahead. And thanks God, they remind me that if I don't put those girls in secondary education, they're gonna end up being married, which means we have invested during the primary education and we're losing it because they don't go farther up in education. And we need highly educated women and boys together to create a different society all over Africa.
Do you see that change really happening in Africa? I mean, is the situation for women much different now than it was when you were growing up?
It's not that changing fast, but it's changing. Because, I mean, you hear young kids now telling you, this is what I want to be. This is what I want to do. And now I'm going to fight for it. Before, it was not like that. The only perspective of future that they had was to be married. It's a long work. We are far away from the complete result that we want. But I said, one child at a time, one step at a time. And if it's only 500,000 of people that we save, it's a lot already all over Africa. But I'm ambitious because I believe in people to help me achieve those goals. Because we're talking about the future. Do you know where your kid's going to end up to? You don't know. So if you don't help the kids in Africa or the kids, underprivileged kids in this country, then you're going to end up facing the consequences sooner or later. For me, helping the children around the planet is just protecting them, for them to know their right, to prepare them to be better politicians, better human beings than the one we had today. Something has to change. And the change will start with education. By example that we started giving the kids home, it's not only schools that educate our children. We have to lead by example, which value that we've cherished the most. If we keep on telling our kids, money is the ultimate goal you have to achieve, you make them monster of greed. So you tell them money is a reward when you work. Don't tell them that's all you have to go for.
Angélique Kidjo's latest album is called Oyo. Steve Paulson spoke with her.